Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my producer and my co-host, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Hi, Nicole. What's happening in your world today?
Oh, nothing. I've actually had a very, very lazy day myself today, so I really cannot complain.
You with a lazy day, I'm finding that hard to believe.
What's that?
You with a lazy day, I'm finding
My cousin is getting married on Saturday, so today I actually treated myself, whereas normally I get out of work a little bit earlier, just to accommodate the show and everything else, you know, on a Thursday. I actually took a couple of additional hours off today so that I can go get my hair done and my nails and get all beautified to go see my family on Saturday.
And Nicole is beautiful. For those of you, because this is a radio show, if we were on television,
Thank you, Cindy.
See how beautiful Nicole is. And I'm glad to hear that you had a little time to pamper yourself. Because it really feels good.
Yeah. Well, actually, I have my business partner to thank for that, too, because it was funny because I was, like, sitting there and I was stressing out and I was like, oh, my God, I got to do this, I got to do that. And then all of a sudden, as I've got foils and everything in my head, you know, all of a sudden my business partner, Philip, walks in and, you know, he pulls over the woman aside and everything and he's just like, you know what? He's like, anything that Nicole's getting done today, whatever, he's like, here, I want to take care of it right now. And actually, my business partner treated me to that day today at the last minute, so...
Wow. And, you know, tonight I'm actually doing another radio show at 10 o'clock, so I announced both these shows in my constant contact today. So we may have a little less callers on this show because they may be going to the 10 o'clock show.
Somebody else said that to me, so.
So you didn't know. So this is because I'm a member of Long Island Authors. I'm actually a board member. And the president of Long Island Authors, Carrie Ann Flanagan-Brotsky, is also the author of The Ghosts of Long Island 1 and 2. And I convinced her to have a blog talk radio show. I said, you know, you really have to do it. You know, you've got an interesting topic. People will love it. And she has done it with her partner who wrote the book along with her or helped her with it. And his name is Joe Giaquinto. And he's actually a person who is a member of the American Society for Psychic Research. And he's one of these, like, ghost hunters. So they have their show. It's the Carrie Ann and Joe show, and it's a paranormal show, and it's at 10 o'clock tonight on Blog Talk Radio, and they're going to be talking about tarot cards and stuff like that. And oddly enough, when I was looking up their show to write about it for our keep in contact with everybody, there is a woman in the Hamptons, and her name is Catherine, and she was married to Hans Holzer, who was the original ghost hunter back in the 60s and used to be on all the major shows. And I think I mentioned this once before. I was watching an afternoon show, and it was about ghosts on Art Linkletter, and he was on the show. And he was the man that made me think, God, ghosts are real. And I was really scared because up till then people would say, you know, there's no such thing as afterlife or ghosts or any of that. So he was the first person to convince me of that. Anyway, her daughter, Catherine's daughter, who she had with Hans Holzer, has a paranormal radio show also on Blog Talk Radio. So I thought it was really fun that I would have never known that if I didn't stumble across today. So Anyway, we have a few callers now, so do you want to just jump right in?
Yeah, we'll just jump right into it, and I'm going to go and just, as usual, I'm just going to not even bother screening the first caller. So let's see what we got here. All right, we're going to somebody with the last four digits, 6047, so that you know that we are addressing you. And hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, can we ask a reading question?
Sure, and you're calling from Florida?
Yes.
Yes, and your first name is?
Nancy.
Nancy, okay, so you have a question?
Yes, I met this guy about 8 months ago. I feel we have a strong connection, but I just, it's really hard to read him, so I don't know what's going on and with him, and maybe, you know, if you can tell me what you see.
Okay. You guys definitely have a very strong connection. You know, the soulmate card came out. You definitely have a soulmate connection. I'm sure you could love this man, heart, soul, mind, and body, if he would let you. There's someone, a man who died that knows him, this guy you're talking about very well. Do you know who that could be? He wasn't old when he died. And he seems to know this man very well. And he's basically saying that, that's my cell phone going off. He's basically saying that this guy is really afraid of love. Are you aware of that?
I get the feeling, yeah.
Okay, and, you know, you've been with him 8 months and you can't read him. That's not a good sign.
Okay.
Right there is telling me that he doesn't want you to be able to read him. And love is really very simple. When someone cares about us, it's really, you know, it's one of the things you can't hide is love. And, you know, he may be trying to hide it from you. He's really battling down his feelings for you and trying to not show you how he feels. How long are you willing to do this song and dance with him?
I don't know. I guess I'm at a crossroads now where, I don't know, like, maybe I should put myself out there and, you know, date other people. I don't know. Every now and then he does pop up and try to, you know, tell me how he sort of feels or, you know, something different. And
well, that's what commitment phobics do, and anybody who's ever listened to this radio show knows commitment phobia is like the number one reason why most relationships aren't making it. And, you know, what commitment phobics do is they lure us in at first, they get us close, and then they start pushing us away like a yo-yo. And when we get fed up, they come back giving us enough whining and dining us to keep us, like, wanting them. Have you told him that you want a committed relationship?
No. I'm scared maybe if I do so that I would scare him away.
Okay, and again, that's one of the things, scare him away. Maybe that's a good thing, because if he's going to keep you in limbo like this, it's going to be very hard for you to move on. How old are you, by the way?
I'm sorry?
How old are you, by the way?
I'm 39.
Okay. You know, you're 39 years old. How long do you want to be waiting for a man to commit to you at this point? You know, I mean, he could do this story dance for like 5 more years. You know, this is a guy who's really afraid of love. There's no lack of him caring about you.
Uh-oh.
But, but there is definitely, you know, him being a person who has very strong feelings for you, but he's not going to let you know. And, you know, you're under obligation to tell him how you feel. If you want a committed relationship, then it's kind of, you know, telling him that's what you want. You have your own fears of commitment. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Nancy, are you aware that you have your own fears of commitment?
I have a lot of background noise.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of background noise. Is that where you are?
No.
Are you in a place where there's a lot of people?
No, I'm in my bedroom. There's nobody here.
Okay. You know, Okay, because all of a sudden there was so much background noise, it was really hard to, you know, hear you. Anyway, you have your own fears of commitment because you're obviously with a man who won't commit to you, but you're afraid to tell him what you want. And mm-hmm. you might lose him, but by the same token, is this how you want it to be? Or do you want more?
I guess I want more. Like I said, I'm at a crossroads, and, you know, I was in a bad relationship prior to this. About 10 months ago it ended, and, you know, I tell myself I'm not in a hurry, but, you know, it would be nice to hang out more and do more things, you know.
Okay, you gave the answer. In the laws of attraction, God gave you the level of love you're ready for. You weren't in a hurry, so this was perfect for now. But you're going to learn eventually, sooner than later, that soulmate love without commitment is pain. And, you know, say our prayer that we always tell people, pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And pray that you be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to healing and commit to each other. Because if it's meant to be this man, so be it. If not, you know, you're going to learn after you. He could literally go on like this for years. Unless, you know, because this is like the laws of physics, you know, an object will continue in the direction it's going unless some obstacle comes in its way. And that obstacle may be you saying, you know, I care about you, I want to be with you, but I can't do this anymore. And taking 2 feet out of the relationship will give him time to miss you. And, you know, the universe will honor your request. It really right now is the level of love you can handle. But I would say within 3 or 4 months you're going to really be tired of this unless he starts coming to the plate. So, you know, before you end it, don't be afraid of telling the truth. You might as well tell the truth because it isn't what you want. After a while, this relationship is going to be toxic and painful for you as well. If you feel like, you know, your last relationship, you have a grandma who passed away. Do you remember her?
Yes.
She's saying to me, your last relationship, he was the master and, you know, you were the slave and he was, like, calling all the shots and it was kind of mean, according to what your grandma's saying. And this guy may not be mean, but he is another one snapping his fingers and you're jumping when he tells you you can jump. It's not all that much healthier. You know, you want a relationship in which you have a right to call and tell him, can you come over, I want to see you, let's get together, that you have an equal say in the relationship. So keep in mind that it's what you didn't learn from that last guy, you may learn from this one. Love is about two equals, not somebody being, you know, the boss or somebody, you know, their fear is controlling the whole relationship. So try to meditate on the thought that this relationship has some parallels to your last one. You feel a little bit more in control, I think, than you did with the last one.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's not all that much healthier.
Right. Okay.
And I don't want you to get your heart ripped out, and this guy really has the potential to do that. So keep in mind that you do have a soulmate coming who will be willing to commit. If it's this guy, so be it. If not, open your heart to the fact that you're ready for that.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you, and thank you for calling us.
Thank you so much. Thank
you. You're welcome. Bye, Nancy.
Bye.
Nicole, are you on the line? We had some really bad interference. It might be from the cell phone. Did you hear that before?
No. I did hear it, and actually that was probably one of the lines that I had picked up or whatever. They had it sounded like there was somebody there, but it automatically, and this has never really happened before, it automatically turned on a mic to a different line, and I couldn't find the line that the mic was turned on to because it didn't show up on the screen. So eventually I nailed it.
Okay, because
we're just making it hard for me to
read because I'm like, okay, I'm trying to hear the voices up there who are talking, and now I got voices over here. And
that line. I know which line it is now. So,
okay, good. And did you get to screen a call? She was lovely, Nancy. And you know,
I did get to screen another call, and the call that we're going to go to right now is Diane, and she is actually in California, and she wants to know just basic career advice, and she wants to know, you know, how her sales and how her overall career is looking this year. So, hello, Diane, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Diane. Good question. And you actually have really good cards, okay? Like, sometimes, you know, I consider it a great bonus when I see really good cards come up. I say, oh, good, this is an easy read. You're a person who's definitely going to feel like at the end of your life like you've accomplished everything you wanted. In the laws of karma, you are about ready to come into abundance. But try not to listen to a lot of negativity about the economy. Do you have people negative near you?
No. Well, I know I kind of cocoon myself in my little career, right? I stay out of that mainstream.
And even in terms of watching the news too much,
right?
Because
don't
we get all these fears. And what's happening in America is even people who are doing well monetarily are getting like this like fear fever. They're like saying, oh, my God, maybe it's going to get worse. Maybe I shouldn't spend money. Maybe I shouldn't buy things. And we have to stop. If, you know, if you're making money, for God's sake, spend it, you know, and, you know, don't hold on to it thinking it's a bad economy. Your sales are going to be good. You actually have extremely good cards in terms of your career. Is this a fairly new job here?
No, I sell real estate. But, you know, now it's fairly new. I do have a bank that gives me generates a lot of business.
That's what
for
I see.
Me.
I see a new source. And with real estate, you know, you have to keep knowing you have good products to sell, that people need homes. And that, you know, you have to keep stressing to people the fact that the houses are about as low as they're going to get. So, you know, if you think maybe I should...
Oh, we've got multiple offers. It's not a problem here. It's multiple offers. Honest to God, I'm cocooning.
Wow.
It would be amazing that I haven't... And I am fortunate enough to have sold three this month. And only one of them was... And I had the listing for it. It was on the market 10 days. And we sold it, but the other two were multiple offers. One had five offers and one had three offers, and I won both times. So my buyers got it. So this is crazy California. You know, the
money
is so
moving. And because you're so positive, what God is doing is bringing you all the customers that are serious and want to buy. And another real estate broker who's sitting saying, what a lousy economy. I can't believe this. God brings all the people who don't want to buy. So you keep saying that because this is a really good money year for you, really good.
Oh,
and you actually
so
have a
glad.
Very, very good five-year period money-wise. Not that you're not going to have it afterwards, but you're really stepping
But I'm
into
up there in age, so who knows if I want to work after 5 years from now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you want to bank enough money to help your Social Security go up and to have a lot of money in savings, this is a very good five-year period for you to really do that.
Oh, I needed to hear that. I didn't know that. Yay.
And that's what I'm saying. This is like a gift from God. You have really learned your skill. You're really good at it. And, you know, I just bought a home, and my parents both passed away, so I'm selling theirs here in New York. And what I got from this whole experience is, and I want to give a big applause to real estate people. Nobody has any idea how much knowledge you people have to possess. You know, you have to know, and it's not knowledge that now I acquired it, and for the rest of my life it's the same. Every day, every week, every year, it's changing, the laws, the rules, the game, the name of the game. And you people are just so amazing at rolling at the punches, at using your gut instinct to tell us when to offer more money, when to offer less, when to walk away, when to, you know, how to play poker with this, you know. And I just need to tell you, I have such reverence for real estate brokers. I really think they earn every penny. They deserve every penny that they get, and that people had better not think of them as just, you know, a salesperson selling something. They possess a lot of knowledge, a lot of, you know, and they're very, very helpful people. So, you know, I just...
And, you know, the truth is, it's a very lucrative business when you sell. It really is.
And, you know,
you
you're
make
selling
a lot,
dreams. And, you know, and you're really helping people, you know, find their dream home. And, you
it's
know,
true. It's, and I create that. I love what I do. I believe I can create something out of nothing. And that's called, the metaphysical word would be.
Alchemy?
I drew a blank. That's
alchemy.
True. but I was still thinking of another word. But Cindy, what it is what your thoughts are is what you create. Look at what a happy, loving relationship you're in. We all want that. And you are our teacher. You show it that can be done. And we feel it every time I listen to your show and your fiance calls in. What a treat. It just brings, you know, a higher feeling of love, and you're passing that out, and thank you.
And that's
you.
Exactly why, you know, we manifested this wonderful home
manifest,
that we live in. And yes,
that's
we manifested this home. It's exactly what we wanted. We love it so much, and it's made our relationship, which is always good, always just even so much better, because we have more space here, and we're not crowded, and it's just wonderful. So, again, it's kudos to the real estate people who, you know, and I saw this house, and my friend, one of my clients who's a real estate broker, I told her, this is the house that I want, and she made it all happen for me, even to making it manifest where I didn't want to take a bank loan because I only needed a little bit more money, and she caught the owner to give me a private bank note for 3 years or to pay it off as soon as I wanted, without going through a bank and paying so much more interest and cost.
That's unbelievable.
That's what I said. She made that happen.
That was such a gift for you. Yeah, that was. But you obviously created, everybody creates it together. It's all teamwork. And that's a lovely story. How long have you been in it?
We've only been in it a month. No, just 1 month. And we've gotten so much.
Baby.
Yes, it is a
new
baby.
You don't want to leave, right?
Every room we love, and it's only 7 years old, and they redid the whole inside. So it's really a beautiful new house. Everything that we could wanted, you know, to the T. And I couldn't be happy. And every day I'm on my knees saying to God, thank you for this little place of peace, this little place that belongs to me. And it does prove to people, you know, when I got divorced, I took a financial bloodbath 6 years ago to buy my freedom, and here
sure.
I am. I got, and I had to leave my home, which I loved, and now I've gotten another home.
I know the
home.
Feeling.
Yes,
there,
now I've gotten
that.
Another
exactly.
one. So that's what I try
and
to
now,
tell.
And now you have it with someone you love. That
right.
I mean, a house is not, it's just, it's not a home if you don't bring love to it.
Well, that's
it's,
what I
you
began
know,
to realize.
Right.
It, you know, even a beautiful home is a prison if it's not, you know, if it's not a love that's free, and you don't have that sense that you are, you know, the master of your destiny. So everything has worked out so wonderfully for us. And I said, you know, in terms of my parents' house being down a lot of money at this point to sell, that's okay. I had to split that money four ways with my brothers. This house was down the equal amount, you know, and it saved me. If my brothers, it would be $25,000 each. It was down here. This house was down $100,000, so it all equals out in the wash. You know?
Yes, exactly.
I would have to split that four ways. You know,
yay!
So,
and
so
the taxes are so much less. I love
right.
that because
so it all
you see
worked
a lot
out.
Of taxes.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Yeah, New York a lot more than here, I know, which is unusual. Okay, well, let's
well, thank you for
show.
Calling,
let
and let us know how your world keeps manifesting.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm addicted to your show when I'm home. I can't
oh,
get enough.
Oh, thank you so much. We like to hear about that.
Great. Bye.
Bye. Well, Nicole, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, now Nicole hasn't had a reading in a while.
I'm
going to pull a couple cards on you.
All right.
See what's happening in Nicole's world, because Nicole seems to be a woman who's been practicing manifesting as well. Nicole,
I've been a little off my game lately, so.
That's why I said, you know what?
Maybe
I'll
be able to shed some light.
Well, we have this opportunity here. Let me do, because I just said, oh my God, Nicole, your spirit guides are telling me I got to give you a reading.
Let me tell you.
They're giving you divine guidance. It's just that you've been so busy that sometimes you can't hear it, you know, and that in the future you have this really strong relationship going on here, really strong. And there's, like, really happy family life in the future here and peaceful thoughts, and that all work and no play doesn't make for a happy Nicole. So I see you. You got the card that's the Queen of Pentacles, which is the woman who makes really good money. Are you still trying to, you know, think about selling the businesses and moving forward?
Well, I'm not necessarily thinking about selling per se. What basically where I'm at is this, is that if it was possible to you know, sell, then great. If not, then, you know, what I would like to ideally do is, you know, surround myself with, you know, positive people and good people, whereas I wouldn't feel the need to constantly be here micromanaging, you know, the businesses where, you know, instead of me working for the business, have the business start working for me.
Well, I see that here. You know, the money-wise, business-wise, you have like, you know, I've been reading you for a couple of years now, right? Maybe 2-3 years.
I know this.
Okay, so
you know me better than I know myself, Cindy.
Right. So these are the best cards I've ever seen for you. You don't have one negative card except that you're a little tired from work. That's the only negative.
No. If that's the only negative is the fact that I'm tired from work, then that's great. So,
but there's nothing in terms of, you know, you not manifesting every single thing that you want. And in terms of the next year, it looks like a very peaceful year. You know, you've earned the right not to have wake-up calls through negative events. You don't need an illness to wake you up. You don't need financial ruin. You don't need the death of a loved one. You only have very positive wake-up calls because you've woken up positively through love. Are you noticing that you're learning your lessons through love now?
Yeah, I definitely think I do. I definitely think that I am because, you know, I mean, and I said this in the very, very beginning before my girlfriend came into my life, and that is that, you know, you never have to go to work as long as you, you know, love what you do, and everything always comes back to love, you know. So I think that this relationship was definitely eye-opening. I definitely had to, you know, cross some bridges that I thought that I had already burned. I had to learn from my previous mistakes. You know, and now I just have to work on not repeating those mistakes so much, you know. So where I'm at right now is that I'm very, very secure with, you know, with my relationship. I'm pretty secure with love, you know, and, you know, like you said, Cindy, the only thing that's really concerning me now is making sure that instead of me working for the businesses, that the businesses start to work for me, you know, at least until the point where, you know, me and my partner could, you know, retire and you know, go live on an island someplace.
Right. No, and actually, there's great financial abundance in your cards. There's a couple of more life lessons for you, but there's nothing that, you know, is going to come and, like, smack you in the face. It's the universe seems to be happy with the fact that you've overcome a lot of your commitment phobia. You've really put your heart out there. You know, you've actually realize that love was a great gift and you're allowing it in. You have a wonderful 5-year period. The World card is a little different from the Wheel of Fortune. The World card is the one with the little naked body woman that signifies that Nicole, all by her naked self, has everything she needs to survive and prosper, but she doesn't have to be alone. Do you know where you want to be 5 years from now?
5 years from now, well, like I said, hopefully I would like to be, you know, it's funny that the previous caller was, you know, in the real estate business because just recently my girlfriend and I were talking about moving to a bigger place and my mother at dinner yesterday because unfortunately I was working for Mother's Day. I could not see my mother. So me and my girlfriend went over to the house, you know, to her house yesterday just to, you know, spend, you know, a belated Mother's Day. And my mother just flat out, you know, blurps out in the middle of dinner yesterday, when am I going to be a grandmother to both me and my girlfriend? You know, so I would say within the next 5-year period, I would like to be on a more consistent working schedule where my life does not revolve around the business. I would like to be in a house with the person that I am with right now, you know, and I would like to be at the point where we're starting a family.
Because there are children in this next 5 years.
I do want kids, and we did discuss kids, you know. Like you know, like everybody's fear goes, you know. We want to make sure that we're separate kids. You know,
right.
So kids are definitely a possibility. And, you know, we definitely would like to, you know, to explore the opportunity to have children. And yeah, I mean that's in a nutshell, Cindy. You know, pretty much. You know, I want the whole shebang. You know, I want to see myself married to this woman, and I want to see myself in a house with this woman, and I want to see myself with a family with this woman. You know, with you know the ability to care for a child, and the ability to care for one another, and the ability to financially, you know, support everything that I would like to have in my life.
And that, you know, you have all of that coming. Try not to worry too much. Because, you know, people tend to not like change that much. And when there's a lot of change, like moving to a house, having children, marrying, it can make us very stressful and make the worry come. But your cards are really good. So if you would kind of take one step at a time and see, you know, because you're talking about three different things, getting a home, marrying her, and having children. So try to kind of do the steps so that you're not a little overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that's a lot of change.
Yeah, well, so far that's why I'm more or less, you know, of just the overall position of, you know what, right now is because, you know, even she says, you know, it's sometimes with my schedule it's different, and sometimes our schedules don't coincide because she's still working on her career, you know, and things of that nature. So, you know, our schedules don't always match up, so we maximize as much time as we possibly can now. You know, so within the next year, I'm hoping that my schedule kind of calms a little bit and falls into more of a less strenuous pattern where I can take some where I could enjoy, you know, having her in my life and enjoy, you know, other things as well, you know, enjoy vacations and things of that nature, not have to worry about my business on the side, you know. And then within the next, you know, 2 to 3 years, you know, I would like to see her career take off in the same way. And then the next 5, I want to see everything else come together.
Right. And that's what shows you have, like, the most positive cards. You know, there's no negative except, the little bit of worrying that comes with life. And, you know, what I wanted to talk about, you know, we don't have any callers right at the moment, which I think is probably a little bit of a blessing, Nicole, because, you know, you've been studying Grant Me a Higher Love for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing you being like the living embodiment of a lot of the philosophies that are in that book and in the concepts of Grant Me a Higher Love. And for you, the commitment issue was a main one. And
yes,
I've seen you in the last few, you know, weeks and months really overcoming that fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably something that, you know, took a lot for you to do. And that's what makes me so proud that you've really, you know, embraced it, recognized that that was one of your fears.
I'm just going to interject right here. I want you to know something, that because of you and because of the amount of studying that I've done and because of you know, everything that I've learned from you, some of that information also passed on to my girlfriend, who was also a very, very big commitment phobe, you know. And, I mean, she had said flat out that she's got certain issues and, you know, she didn't want to use, you know, the term girlfriend. And even though I was spending, you know, 6 to 7 nights a week there, you know, it was never that we were, you know, officially living together and things of that nature. And those lessons passed on to her, because at the point where we sat down and we actually talked, her answer to me, you know, regarding, you know, her, you know, the reasons why she wanted to move forward and why she was deciding to move forward, was that she said to herself, it was about time that I just let my guard down, because I knew in my heart of hearts that, you know, in a couple of years when I decide, yeah, I'm ready for a relationship, I was going to want somebody with exactly the same things that you're offering me right now, and they just weren't going to be there for me, because I would have blown that opportunity to have that, and I didn't want to blow that opportunity, and I didn't want to turn, you know, a gift away. She's like, you know, it didn't happen in the timing that I thought it would. She's like, but I'm certainly happy that it's here. And she completely made a 180 and has completely embraced having a relationship, you know, coming from the standpoint of, oh, no, I don't want a relationship. So
that's what I'm saying, that was very important, because
so you helped two people.
Right. And you saw for yourself on the overwhelming majority of people have the same problem, the commitment issue. So
yeah,
you know, the fact that you, right in front of our audience over the period of the last few months, you showed them your fear and you showed them, your steps toward the commitment and how you didn't fall flat on your face and you didn't get hurt and it did progress, because it was like the blind leading the blind. If you're fearful, she's fearful. It's, you know, she's scared, it's two of you. Once you made a conscious effort to start overcoming some of your commitment phobia, you helped her. So, you know, that was really, really good, and I'm so proud of you for that. Now,
thank
I think
you,
we
so
have
great.
A caller. I don't think we got to screen it, but you could jump in if you want to.
I did not get to screen it because I was on the radio this time.
Right.
So.
I wanted to give you a reading. I was like, let me see Nicole's cards.
All right. Well, let me get them all patched through, Cindy.
I don't know where 404 is. I don't know what area code
is. No, I don't know where 404 is either.
Okay, good.
So let's just see here. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, this is Cindy, and who is this?
This is Talia.
And where are you calling from?
Georgia.
Okay, we didn't know where 404 was. That's like Georgia.
Yeah,
okay.
It's Atlanta. Mm-hmm.
Atlanta, okay. Claire, do you have a specific question?
Yeah, it's actually Talia. I'm sorry. Every time I say my name, people think I'm saying Claire, but it's Talia.
Oh, Talia. Okay, what a pretty name.
Thank you. I guess the person that that I was seeing, my ex, we broke up last August, but we've been seeing each other kind of like dating lightly over the past few months up until now. And I'm wondering, like, I want to, you know, get back together and, you know, commit a relationship with him, but he's afraid right now. So,
and
I mean,
you can
hear
what we were talking about, Nicole and I. It's it is the main commitment issue. And, you know, you guys started out as soulmates, and I saw the first card that I picked was soulmates. You guys started out with that heart, soul, mind, body love. But without commitment, it gets painful. And what you're allowing him to do is sort of have his cake and eat it too. He's got one foot with you and one foot out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't look like he's going to change anytime soon unless you have the courage to tell him that you love him, but this is not what you signed on for. You signed on for committed love. That's what you want. How old are you, by the way?
I'm 25.
Okay, because your generation is the same. You're the same generation as my daughter and Nicole. A lot of your generation can't commit even to the word relationships. It's booty calls, friends with benefits, hookups. And that's not what you wanted. And if you could tell him, you know, what you wanted is a committed love and a relationship that grows and you grow closer, and be willing to take 2 feet out and no texting, no talking, no booty calls, he would then miss you. Do you know what I'm saying? You're not giving him time to miss you.
Yeah.
He can come back and see, oh, she's still mine. He still sees you're not with anybody else. If you weren't talking to him, you weren't allowing him to text you, he wouldn't know where you were, and you want his fear of losing you to be greater than his fear of loving you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he has a grandfather who passed away. Does he ever talk about his grandfather?
Well, his dad just passed away.
Okay, because this is
that
the man. Yes, and how old was his dad when he died?
Young, like 60-something.
Does he have grandchildren already?
Yeah.
You
mean the dad or him?
The dad.
Yeah, the dad had grandchildren. Yeah, he has kids.
Right, because it's him then, because he's a grandfather, and he's talking about missing his grandchildren and his son, and he's saying, you know, his son has entered the world of why people are really afraid of soulmate love. Why are so many people running from a higher love? When you're driving later, I want you to listen to the love songs. Out of five, three are about the love that got away. One's Pink singing, I Was Never This Nasty Before You, and one's about soulmates being together. The real fear of soulmate love is, if I love you, heart, soul, mind, and body, and you die on me, I'm going to be devastated.
Mm-hmm.
And yet his father came through to try to prove love never dies. If people would realize that love goes on, that death changes us only because it ends a life, but it doesn't end a relationship. And his father's saying that his son is so afraid to commit to you, although his son loves you very, very much.
Yeah.
And that if you have to help him through this, because, you know, he really is in pain over his father's death. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I can feel that. And it's crazy that you say all this because another psychic told me, like, the exact same thing. I mean,
because his dad's a pretty clear voice. I need to tell you, his dad's like, you know, talking to like, you know, like I have a walkie-talkie in my ear. He loved you very much, his father. Did he ever get to meet you on Earth?
No, I never met his dad.
Because he's watched over you now, and he likes you, and he's on your side. But he's saying, I need you to help me. I need you to say the words to my son that you love him, but you want him to commit to you. Because he's really running from love, and he's really hurting you. And, you know, he's a nice person, you're this guy that you're with. But an otherwise nice person can do something very cruel. What he's doing is painful to you.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I don't know if you picked up on it, but I hurt him first. Like, he wanted a committed relationship for the longest time, for months, and I wasn't ready. He's much older than me. And then when he left me because I wasn't committing, that's when I became, like, a more spiritual person. My whole life changed, and that's when I realized I didn't have to
be
afraid of love.
Okay, you learned from this. You learned that soulmates are brought to open our soul, whether they're there or they don't work out, they open our soul. Two, because he left, you were forced to learn the lessons in the ending of a relationship, and one of them is only love matters, only love is real. You really did the inner searching. Well, you're going to have to do the same thing with him now. Say, I love you. I made a mistake, but I want commitment now. And if you can't commit to me, I can't do this because it's ripping my heart out. Allow him to learn the same lessons. You know, both of you have to work toward trust, but, you know, since his dad died, that brought on a different fear. Now it made a different kind of commitment fear inside of him. And, you know, you're young. I mean, at 25, it's hard to learn how to commit. It isn't easy. But what you're going to do is our soulmate prayer. And this prayer works. It works miracles. You're going to pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing because he's got some healing to do. And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to healing back. If it's this guy, so be it. And his father says, over his dead body, it better be, because, you know, he's on your side. He's a very funny man. He wants it to work. And just tell him from your heart how much you love him. And be the first one to really say, you know, those words. Because he's afraid of being hurt now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it looks really promising here, by the way.
But
you have to be the one to, like, have... You know, say you know you're worth this and that, you know. Let him miss you a little bit, and then he'll come to the same realizations that you did, that you really love him, that freedom's just another word for loneliness. If you love somebody and you can't commit to them, freedom doesn't feel so free. And, you know, you learned so much in your life, and you now know what soulmates do. They open our heart. They open our heart to a higher love, to realizing a lot of things, to loving God, to being more spiritual. And even if this doesn't work between the two of you, it really profoundly changed you. And if you're offered another soulmate, and we do have about 30 of them on the planet, God doesn't bring two at the same time, or boy, we'd be out of our minds who to choose. But you will know you will never, ever run from love again.
Yeah.
And if you learn that by the time you're 25, God bless. And
thank you.
And his grandfather's
grateful.
Saying he wants you to be the mother of his grandchildren. So, you know, he adores you. So have some faith that you were divinely guided to me to get this reading and to know that it's time for you to start. Stop feeling so guilty that you screwed up, okay? You didn't screw up. You had to learn. You were younger than he is. Soulmates usually have age differences, and the older soulmate has to be patient with the younger one.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be. You know, he had time to learn those lessons. You didn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, tell that to him. It took him a long time to be able to commit too, you know. So he had his own issues with commitment. His father's up there laughing, so he must know something that we don't know.
Yeah, he's been hurt a lot in the past, so. Yeah.
Well, good luck to you, and thanks so much for
calling
in.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Wasn't she sweet, Nicole? Nicole, I think TJ's trying to call in. He's number two.
All righty then. Hello, TJ.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
Hi, TJ. You got a compliment from Diane in California saying how much she loves when you call in.
Well,
so we were hoping you would call in. How
well,
are you?
Well, here I am calling. I'm fine. Life is wonderful and everything. Siti, you didn't mention that Howard thing today, did you?
Oh, no. Tell us the story about that. That's very interesting, how the dead commune.
All right. And then don't forget to mention the phone number or whatever it is for the second radio show you'll be on later this evening.
Okay.
But so people who like to hear can keep on listening a little bit later tonight. Anyway, Nicole, the story goes like this. Cindy met a very good friend of mine who, unfortunately, like right after he met us, the next day he was diagnosed with cancer that took his life in about 5 months. He was gone from being diagnosed.
My goodness. And Howard and I instantly had a soulmate friend connection.
Oh, yeah. It was unbelievable. I knew they would because, you know, it's the type of people you draw into your circle in life. Anyway, so getting to the point was my friend Bob Corton had been Howard's boss for like 20 years at Sophie's, a great bar in New York City, East Village. And then Bobby had to sell it to his brother when he had leukemia, but he's recovered and he's it's under arrest. So getting to the point was that, you know, Bobby then was taking, you know, Howard called me when Bobby was sick and then Bob called when Howard was sick, and to make a long story short, Bob was the one who was there for Howard day in, day out, and then Howard passed away, and Bob decided, now that he's healthy, that he wanted to get back into the bar business. So with a friend of his for 20 years, they went hunting around for all these different locations, and they found a bar location, and he called me today, and he said they closed on it, they're opening it. He said he never even looked at the name of the old bar because it was like boarded up, and the name of the bar was O'Brien's, which was Howard's last name.
Oh my God, that's awesome!
And Howard wasn't just a bartender. Howard was a phenomenal writer. He was a playwright. He went to Yale University.
No, he graduated from Harvard. Went to graduate
Harvard,
from Yale.
Right.
He had three degrees, all from Harvard and Yale. But the bottom line was, I want to let the callers get in to talk to one. It's a great story. I thought it'd be great to share. And Cindy, please tell everyone the phone number where they can reach you later on tonight.
Okay, I'm getting
some more of the great. I love her. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman, wonderful girl, and a great person. And Nicole, one of these days we're going to hoist a cold one. Ciao for now.
Absolutely, CJ. Absolutely.
Okay,
ciao.
Give that,
and good night, folks. Bye-bye.
I'll give that
calling number to
the show later on at 10 o'clock tonight. We're going to be talking a little bit about, interesting enough, about tarot cards, mediumship, how I learned what I learned, and if those of you who might be interested in learning more about tarot and mediumship, and then we'll be doing some readings as well. The number is 310-982-4264. That's 310-982-4264. Okay, Nicole, we do have another caller, I think.
We do have another caller. And
boy,
right,
Nicole,
now
you got lucky. You got a reading because we had a little break, and then they started calling.
I know. Well, you know what? Honestly, I'm going to have to apologize to you for that, Cindy, because I, you know, like I said, I know that I've been off my game, you know, about, you know, recently because I've been, you know, kind of stressed and, you know, filled with worry, as you've already addressed with me in my own reading. But I think, you know, our lack of callers tonight might have something to do with my spirit guides just saying, okay, fine, this bitch ain't listening to us. She better listen to you, Cindy. So.
And I know. It's so funny because when I sat down, I said, I haven't been able to give Nicole a reading. And I'm like, oh, God, I overreading. So both of us manifested that reading for you tonight.
Yes, and thank you very much for it, Cindy. I do appreciate it always.
Oh, good. And we have a Long Islander. I see a 516 number.
Yes, well, actually, we're going to go to one before Long Island.
Okay.
We're going to go over to Philadelphia, and we're going to speak to Linda.
Okay.
And basically, you know, in a nutshell, her and her boyfriend broke up, you know, about 9 months ago, and she just saw him for the first time yesterday. And you know what? She needed to get some things off her chest, and part of what she needed to get off her chest was that she wanted a future, you know, and she's not sure what he's going to do with that information, whether or not that information scared him or whether or not, you know, it's actually going to come up something. And what she'd like to know is, you know, what you can tell her. Is it going to go anywhere, or is it just going to stay as it is with just information that she put out there?
That's a good question.
That's a great question, I thought. So, hello, Linda, you're on the air.
Hi, Cindy, how are you?
Hi. Good. Linda from Philadelphia. Okay. It took
Originally from Long Island.
Okay. That's what I thought, because you didn't sound like you had a Philadelphia accent.
No.
Okay. Now, Linda, you took a lot of courage for you to say what you said. Agreed?
Yes. Agreed.
It wasn't easy, but the universe honors your behavior. You're only responsible for your behavior, not for his.
Right.
Because he started out as soulmates, and 45% of Americans are offered soulmate love. Only 1% are maintaining it. That's a horrible statistic. And because you were soulmates, you were under obligation to be honest with him and to really deliver to him the message how you felt. And the universe honors that you want a soulmate committed love. You don't want a booty call. You don't want someone who comes and runs. He was a little stunned, by the way. Did you see it in his face?
Mm-hmm.
He was stunned. He couldn't believe, you know, you were so honest and open. And he almost didn't know how to respond. He has been thinking about it a lot. It took a lot of courage for you to say it. There's someone who died not that long ago who knows him. Do you know who that would be?
My mom.
Yes, and... Yes, your mom. And she's the one who was so close to Mother's Day trying to pop thoughts in your head what you had to do. Do you feel your mom near you?
Sometimes I do, and sometimes, you know, I just miss her, but, I don't.
Well, she's the one who helped give you the courage to tell him what you needed to tell, by the way.
Okay.
She was popping thoughts in your head that you deserve better because your mom wanted you to love yourself the way she loves you, and it was very painful for her to watch this relationship go down the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your mom's death brought up the fear that everybody always ends up having. What if he loves you and something happens to you? He loves you. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I know he loves me.
And your mom's saying, you know, she's on your side. She's up there popping thoughts in his head. Be a little patient.
Okay.
Because he's really thinking about what you said.
Okay.
It went inside and it touched his soul and his heart. How old is he, by the way?
He's 67.
Okay, because he's a little too old to be, like, afraid of love. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But your mom's death brought up the fact that, you know, if something happened to you, he'd be devastated. And it looks like he'll come around. He's a generous and kind man when he's not afraid. Are you aware of that?
Yes, absolutely.
What you saw is a really, really fearful man, and looks as if he's going to come back to you like an innocent boy ready to love you. So you have to stay firm. You told him what you wanted, and now you're that's it. You're not going to talk to him for a while, correct?
I just told him, because he's... he broke up with me 9 months ago to be with another girl. He wanted to buy a house together, like after we were going out like a couple of years, and I was scared. And then I guess he just got turned off. And then he broke up with me right after my mom died and started dating somebody else. But he calls me all the time. I just saw him this evening. It wasn't for the first time, but I saw him tonight, and it's the first time I had the courage to tell him, say, look, I want to be your partner. I want a future together. I said, you do what you want with that information. I just wanted you to know that I want what you wanted, you know, years ago. And I said, but I'm not going to be around forever. You know?
Right.
And he said, I know.
And that was very good, because what he did was, after your mom died, the fear of loving you and something happening to you made him crazy. And so he went to a narcissistic rung on the ladder of love. Okay, we have soulmate at the top of a ladder, toxic love at the bottom. Most love is kind of mediocre, flatlined in the middle. And then there's a rung, the third rung, that's called narcissism, the narcissistic rung, where any woman's interchangeable with another.
That's where he's at.
He tried to replace you on that rung, and meanwhile, you soulmate is nothing at all like that. And he thought she seems a little like you, looks a little like you, but she's not you. And he's now realizing that. And if you play on the narcissistic rung, it's like, well, if anything happens to her, I can just shop on Match.com and find another one. He doesn't want to love someone who could die on him. And he really got scared after your mom died. and be a little patient with him, because now I would advise you, no texting, no talking. And if he calls you, you're going to say, what's your intention in calling me? Is it to stick 2 feet in here and make this work? If not, I can't do this. It's ripping my heart out. Be honest. If we don't tell people how we feel and what we want, we're not karmically free of them. And the horrible part about dying and you getting a life review is when you see the life that God intended, if you had only told the truth to these people, mm-hmm. how different your life would have been. We all want to come back and can we do it again? No, we can't. You messed it up. He really loves you. You made him think, but you have to be strong. Linda, how do you see him so much? He lives near you. You work with him or something?
No. Like I say, you know, over, like since January, you know, maybe we speak every 3 weeks, but the past couple of, I guess past month, he's been calling me like a lot, but still sing with this other girl. And I've just been talking to him casually, acting like it's fine. But it kills me that he's got this other girl that, you know, he's in a relationship with, you know, and it's like, I don't know. I said, why, you can't be in love with her. You know,
he isn't. It's a low level of love, if anything. And what it is that we didn't come this far in liberation to allow men to have their cake and eat it too.
Right.
And that's what your mother's mad about. She's saying, Linda, I never thought I would live so long or die so long to see you. Allowing a man to have his cake and eat it too. You've never done that before, correct?
No.
And we as a sisterhood of women have to stand together and say, look, you have chosen her. And if you want me, then you have to take 2 feet away from her and put 2 feet in with me. But I will not allow you to have your cake and eat it too. And, you know, for you, that's going to be a little hard to say because you love him so much, but he loves you as well, and if you don't allow him to talk, see, he hasn't lost you. He knows you're not with anybody. He's keeping tabs on you, and, you know, you want him to feel the loss of you. There's lessons in God bringing us love, and there's lessons in God taking it away from us, and you've learned a lot. You learned, you know, that you want to commit to him, and you want this love, but he has to learn that not all love is created equal. We're not interchangeable. A soulmate is not interchangeable with another soulmate on earth. There's just not, you with another person. He can't just go to another level of love and be happy now. Once you've had soulmate love, it's a different animal than any other love. You know that now, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
And you learned a lot.
Oh, my God.
We're all moving out of the Donald Trump syndrome. Any blonde is interchangeable with another. Any man with money and power, let me just replace him. That is the most stupid level of love that there is. Even if the person looks exactly like you, she's not you. And, you know, just have some faith. Your mom knew you thought about her on Mother's Day and thanking you very much. And, you know, we're just about ready to close up our show. And it was my first Mother's Day without my mom.
When we share that, it's horrible.
I know. That's why I wanted to share that with you. And our moms asked us to, like, connect. And if you go to my website, www.grantmeahigherlove.com, and go to the blog site, you'll see a picture of my mom when she was my age, 58 years old, and how beautiful she looked in that picture. And I posted that just because I wanted my mom to know that I was thinking of her on Mother's Day. And
Cindy, I just have one question.
Sure.
I'm an Aries, and I'm an impatient person. How long do you think I'm going to have to wait for this? Is it going to be...
Prepare for a solid month at least.
Okay.
Okay, but it's not indefinite. Be strong. Know that every day that you don't speak with him or allow him to talk is a day that he has to face the truth that he may lose you. He doesn't want to lose you.
Okay.
So call us and let us know what happens, please.
When are you on there again?
We're always on almost every Thursday night at 7 o'clock.
Okay, great.
So just we're here, and we love to hear the outcome. And
okay.
If you could hear Nicole, look, nobody was more of a commitment phobic than Nicole.
I was. Well, Nicole, I mean, that's how I got in this mess. If I just would have committed to him years ago, I wouldn't be going through this.
Again, well, that's how we learn. And you know what? When you do finally reconnect, you have learned. You're going to cherish this above and beyond anything else, and you will just every day be on your knees in gratitude, and that's what we need to be. And, you know, I told the story of seeing Livingston Taylor this summer playing at Guildhall, and he had a soulmate, and he wasn't very cooperative with her. You know, Livingston Taylor and James Taylor weren't the easiest people to get along with in this world, and she walked out on him. And he wrote her this song, and she came back to him, and the song was, "No matter what you ask, no matter what, it's yes, yes, yes. My answer is yes, yes, yes." The whole song was yes, yes, yes. So she had the courage to step away from him, and when she came back, he cherishes her more than anything. So let's all learn from those lessons.
Okay.
Well, everybody have a good week. Those of you who didn't get through, there's a 516 number. You can call tonight.
There is a 516 number.
Yeah, you can call tonight at 10 o'clock to the number that I gave before, and I'll be on that show at 10 o'clock tonight.
Okay.
Good night, Nicole. Enjoy your wedding.
Cindy, can I ask you one more question?
We're going to run out of time. The show's going to cut off in about a second.
Oh, okay.
All right, so we'll speak to you again in the future.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.